Welcome back to Civic Talk.
And this is the second part of our interview with Zaina Kayat. She's one of North America's leading thinkers on the future of healthcare.
So, you know, I've got a lot of banned words. We can make a list. So I don't like integration. I don't like digital. I don't like virtual. I don't like innovation. And patient-centered is another one I'll put out there. And again, not that those aren't good ideas. It's just they've taken a meaning, and to me, language is mindset. And so the biggest problem that I think stops us from getting where, you know, patients expect us to get is the way we think. So language affects it. So the problem with the word patient-centered is it still implies we're in control of all the variables. We're just going to now place you physically in the center, and we're going to feel really good about ourselves for that because we just said it. Whereas the language I'm more leaning towards and appreciating is, you know, what I call people-powered healthcare. You know, so it's like agency and power. It's the decision of me as the patient whether I want to outsource that power. Some people might want to outsource it. Guess what? If I have an end-stage tumor that is extremely complex scientifically, and I'm a PhD scientist, guess what? I'm probably going to outsource a lot of that decision-making to some very qualified experts. I'm the primary caregiver to my mother who has diabetes and dementia, and there's a lot going on socially and other things, I am not going to outsource that. We're not, no. We're going to be partners in care, you know? So I think that's the shift of the role of people and their power and their agency. At the end of the day, it's just choice. And people might not want the choice at all. Great. But do not take it away from those who want choice in whatever aspect of their care.
Switching gears a little bit to look at sort of outside of Canada and other parts of the world, are there particular innovations that are getting you excited when you look at developing countries?
Sorry. If drones to deliver the drugs is the best way to get the damn medicines to people, instead of, you know, big pharmacy infrastructure that needs to hit margins and sell you, you know, shaving cream. Sorry. Hold on. Save me. Take them away. I had the door closed. sorry. I'll say it again. Yeah. So drones used to deliver medicines. Then if that could be done effectively and efficiently, they just do it.
What are sort of, do you see as some of the biggest obstacles for moving forward in healthcare delivery in the next while?
I honestly think the biggest obstacle is producer interests. You know, when you innovate, when you change a care model and unlock new value, well, you don't just get new value from nowhere. The value pools have to shift, which means something has to stop and be taken away to reallocate it to this new thing. And the stopping and the taking away of something, you know, I've known to love, I've built a career around, it's predictable, it pays my bills. That's not easy for people to give up, right? Whether that's an organization or an individual. So that's what I think has been the biggest reason we cannot create the future we all agree we want, because we kind of try to do it on top of the legacy, because we got to keep the legacy happy while creating the new. And you can't do that. You're just layering and layering and layering. And it's actually worse, you know, then you're adding complexity. So that's my view of one of the biggest barriers. Of course, the upstream barrier, that again is mindset. There's just, I find in Canada in particular, we are not galvanized around a belief that we have to do it another way, right? And that we're all on the same page for that. I mean, if you harness the way we believed and got it together to get through COVID, imagine if that same hustle and hunger was in modernizing our health system. Like, we don't have that. And there's really no consequences of not having it. Like, Canadians will tolerate waiting 18 months for a procedure to end their suffering. They'll wait, I've just read, 3 years to get to a primary care doc. So, I don't know. We're not at a tipping point. We're not mad enough yet.
When you talk about patient power, that's like how we're asserting our power.
Yeah, you're right. But the currents are the baby boomers, right? One was born every 10 seconds. They're all kind of entering the 70s. They're not going to take it. You know, They did not accept retirement the way we dished it. They didn't, you know, so that's going to, I think, drive a very different demand and expectation on the one end of the current. And then the other end is kind of, you know, the digital natives who are now starting to get chronic diseases. And like, they're going to be like, what? Like, why are you asking me to get on the horse and buggy when my driverless car dropped me off here? You know, so... So I think between those two bookends, I think Canadians are going to start to wake up and demand something very different. And that I think that will be the tipping point. Until then, the system from within and top down with all the best interests, I just don't think it's going to pull it off.
Well, last thoughts, anything else that, you know, when you knew this was the topic for Civic Talk this week, you thought, oh, well, I really want to talk about this. Is there anything that comes to mind that you want to say in that sort of space of the future of healthcare?
Probably maybe just I'll end with two points that just to put a fine point on things. You know, the first is health is the product of healthcare. That's why we do it. And since the dawn of humanity and still today, health is created in community, right? So 95% of what is the reason you're healthy or I'm healthy or not healthy, anyone in the population has nothing to do with any medical health care they ever got, right? It's played such a small role in the production of health. So I think that's one is I'd rather actually stop obsessing with reinventing healthcare and reallocate those resources to what drives health in the first place, housing security, food security, you know, social cohesion. So that's one. And I am encouraged that a lot more people who orgs and people who traditionally were in healthcare delivery are moving those resources upstream into these other areas. That's kind of cool. And I think the second is the human nature, particularly in healthcare, is to protect the past. And I always call on anyone who plays in this space, whether you're in policy side, delivery, admin, industry, venture capital, I don't care. Can you carve and make sure at least 10 or 20% of whatever you spend your time on is protecting the future? You know, if you just did that, I think we would go a long way. And right now we still relegate protecting the future or creating the future to the weirdos like me who have that in their job title. Like you can't give that to a little team of three to be the innovation team, you know, because the other 98% of the resources literally are obsessed with what we call quality improvement, which is protecting the past. It's saying everything we do today is exactly what it should be. We just need to, you know, get it to a better quality level.
To your descriptor at the beginning of our chat about you being a Sherpa, sounds like we all need to be Sherpas together.
Oh my goodness. That's the title of this podcast then. That was fun.
Well, thank you very much. That was awesome.
What Zaina said is so true. And it makes me mad just thinking about it. It's so frustrating that we don't demand more from our healthcare system the way it is. We're so complacent about it. And I just don't know how we're going to get past it. How do we move forward?
I totally agree. And I think her words really resonated for me when she talked about how do we get from protecting the past to creating the future? We'd like to open this up to you as well. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We can keep the conversation going on LinkedIn. And if you have ideas for future podcast episodes with us about this issue, the future of healthcare, we'd love to talk to you about that as well.
Thank you so much for listening.